Well, hey, listen, I am excited to continue our series that we've been on entitled Healthy Homes. And so as you remain standing, grab your Bibles, your message outline. When you walked in, they handed you that piece of paper. Those are the points and the verses that we'll be studying this morning. We're going to have some Bible study. Come on, get into the Word this morning. Say amen. As you're turning your Bibles there, I do want to make mention is the last 2 weeks we've had a powerful time where we have had two back-to-back weeks of our women's conferences. And so clap because all the women are being built up. I think that's something that's valuable and we should celebrate. We had our Fiercely Feminine in English for our Irvine and Fullerton. And actually, we had women fly in from Washington, Texas, all over. And, you know, the women, their conferences are almost as good as the men's conference. Just joking. That's messed up. Just kidding. We're not in competition at all. I'm joking. But no, it is a blessing to see what God does through all the women. And then we had our Freedom House Español Women's Conference, and both were just incredible. And why we should celebrate that is because the Bible says that in the last days, it says your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And we want to see women powerful, women healed. We also want to see men powerful and men healed. And so we love it. So we just want to celebrate that as a church. I don't want to just go over that. I think it's special when God is working on the family unit. And so today we're continuing our series on healthy homes. And we're going to be in a verse. Go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 25. We're going to look at a verse, verse 15 and verse number 16. Book of Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel. And I'm going to extract here just a thought that is going to set the backdrop for this message. And if you're joining us into this series for the first time, we're on a series, Healthy Homes. And the whole premise of the series is I just believe that God not only should move within the confines of the church, but I believe God should move in our homes for people. I said God should move in our homes. Amen, right? Because this is my opinion, and I believe it's the biblical the view, but, you know, it's easy to be a Christian in church. Y'all four honest people, no. The battle's at home. Pray for me. My battle's at home. I know your home is like angels walk through your hallways and you know, just flowers grow and you know, no demons fight your home. But pray for my home. But, you know, sometimes the battle's at home. You know, the battle with in marriage, the battle with the kids, the battle. And I want to see God move. I don't want to just see God move at the altar at church. I want to see God move in my living room. I want to see God move at the dining table. I want to see God move in my wife. I want to see God move in definitely my kids. I want to see God, even my dog needs to be obedient to the Lord. Come on, somebody. Point being is this whole series is about how do we bring God's blessing home. And so today I want to add to that series we've been on. It's the fourth installment in the series. And I want to extract here. The backdrop is God's about to talk about the Philistines. And the Philistines are very popularly known because Goliath was a Philistine, David and Goliath, right? But the Philistines are a picture of a perpetual battle between God's people and the enemy. And I want to extract one thought here because God's going to reveal to us why the Philistines were always fighting. It says here in verse 15, it says, "Thus says the Lord God, because the Philistines dealt vengefully and took vengeance with a spiteful heart to destroy because of the," what's the Bible say here? "The" what? "The old hatred." In other words, like, man, y'all got just so much history of just hating each other, of bitterness and fighting and animosity and quarreling. He says in verse 16, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will stretch out my hand against the Philistines and I will cut them off from the Cherethites and destroy the remnant, off of the seacoast." And what God was saying here was he's like, the reason you're still fighting, you know, the house of God, Israel's people and Philistines, the reason you guys are fighting, he says, you guys are fighting because of old hatred. And what I just want to extract the backdrop is I believe a lot of families, the reason why they don't have peace at home is there's a lot of old hatred. There's just a lot of old bitterness, a lot of old resentfulness that's like, that happened like 7 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And I believe it's time for God to heal our homes. Come on, somebody. And we're not gonna have old, unresolved conflict that, let's just be honest, you even forget, why am I mad again? I'm just joking. But we wanna deal with that. And so I have a message today I've entitled Learning to Let Go. Say, learn to let go. We're gonna talk about the power of forgiveness. Let's Let's pray. So bow your head and let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And God, I'm asking you to visit, not just visit us, reside in us, Lord. God, teach us this principle of not holding on to old hatred, to old resentment or old bitterness. But Father, teach us to be mature believers as it pertains to the subject of forgiveness. Father, speak to us, mold us. And I'm just gonna say this, it's okay, Holy Spirit, to challenge us and convict us today. Because it's not your word that needs to change, it's us that needs to change. We need to become the men and women of God you've called us to be. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Give God a clap. You may be seated. And do me a favor, just tell the person next to you, just say like this, say, hey, let it go. Just come on, just tell them that. Say, just real easy, real chill, don't be intense. Just say, hey, let it go. Just type it in the chat, in fact. Just say, hey, let it go, let it go. We're going to talk today about the power of forgiveness. And as inspiration for this message, I went ahead and put myself on the chopping block with my wife. And I went ahead and I told my wife, I said, honey, I said, I want you to share. So can you tell me what are some old habits that I do that really bug you? And I'm like, you know, I'm preparing for the message. I go, just are there some things that I do? She couldn't think of any. No, I'm just joking. Come on, somebody. I'm just joking. You know that's a lie. That is a lie. I'm joking. And so I got to be honest. I'm preaching here. So I was like, can you think of some things I do that bug you? And she's like, oh, yeah. So she started naming all kinds of them. I'm like, whoa. I said a few. I'm joking. Come on. You know, she's like, you know, you don't close the cabinets every time you go through them. I feel there's some pain out there. Come on. She's like, you know, you're always, every time you take a long time to fix things when I ask you to. I'm like, Shandoro Bosa. Okay, here we go. I'm not the only one. Come on, somebody. Don't leave me hanging out here, you know. You take a long time to fix certain things. And so she started going for it. Boo, and I'm like, wow, you know. And I said, well, let it go. Come on, somebody. Amen. I set her up, right? I said, let it go. And he's like, oh, well. She's like, okay, well, to balance this out, she then proceeded to say, well, are there some things that I do that bug you? Because I want to be fair. So I told her, I said, God, I said, I'm a man of God. I keep no record of wrongs. I forgive and I let it go. I set her up. I know that's messed up. Huh? Okay, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. I just couldn't pass up the opportunity. But I didn't say anything. I'll save it for later. So anyway, I'm preparing for the message, right? But the truth is that every home has certain things that we do that just get on each other's nerves. I mean, can we just settle it right now? There is no such thing as a perfect home. Okay, four people. Let me try again. There's no such thing as a perfect home. Amen, okay? Like even if you read the Bible, the Holy Bible, there is no perfect family. Okay, even the family that Jesus was raised in had problems, okay? It's every family from the Garden of Eden to the end times till right now, every family has problems. And so what we've got to understand is that God realizes the brokenness in families, so God gives us tools, spiritual principles to use to help bring healing to our homes. And that spiritual principle, listen to me now, is this principle called forgiveness. I'm going to smile when I say it, because I know when I say it, some of you are like, meh, okay? This principle is called forgiveness, because it is important that we deploy some of these principles, not some, all of them really, but particularly this principle of forgiveness. And I'm going to get to, you know, forgiveness, and I'll break it down later in the message, but just let me establish the foundation of forgiveness. It's that it is a principle that God wants us to deploy in our lives. It is something that, if I'm honest, let's all be honest, when I talk about forgiveness, it never really feels good, because just, this isn't your first point, but I want you to hear me, forgiveness is never fair. Okay, it's just real talk. It's never fair. So it's never like you're going to forgive someone because they did something good. Every time you have to deploy this thing called forgiveness, it's always when they don't deserve it. It's always a scenario that you feel like, well, this ain't fair. I know God never said forgiveness is going to be fair. It was something that God said that can only bring peace to a home and really bring peace to our lives. And so we got to do it. So when I talk about forgiveness, I just want to establish by saying this. Say this with me. Say, God's ways work. Say it again. Say, God's ways work. Because God would not ask us to do something that wouldn't work. So here's how Jesus says it, because we're talking about forgiveness. We're talking about learning this thing called let it go. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, let's all read it together. Here Jesus is going to talk about the Lord's Prayer. Y'all know the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father who art in heaven. But I want to extract something here that Jesus reiterates a couple of times here. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through verse number 15, the Bible says this. Jesus says, "This then is how you should pray." This is not a message about prayer, but notice he didn't say, this is how if you should pray. He said, should pray. Someone say, you should pray. Okay? So in other words, it's something we need in our lives. He started praying. He said, "Our Father," who art in heaven, he says, "hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread." Then watch this, verse 12. He says, "and help us to forgive," or "forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors." In other words, help me to forgive. He says, "forgive me like I forgive other people." It's a dangerous prayer. 13. Well, let me just stop right there. Can you imagine God, "forgive me how I forgive others"? Whoa. Some of you are already like, "oh, Jesus, be with me, Lord Jesus," right? Verse 30, he says, "and lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil." But then watch verse 14. Jesus is going to reiterate one thing out of the Lord's Prayer. He said, "for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others when their sins," this is very important last sentence here, he says, "your Father, your heavenly Father, will not forgive your sins." Jesus reiterates one sentence in the Lord's Prayer, and not that any other sentences are not important. The kingdom coming is important. Holy is his name is important. Give us our day, our daily bread, our spiritual nourishment is important. But Jesus reiterates one particular point and expounds in the one he reiterates and expounds is this principle on forgiveness. Now, why is that? Because forgiveness is hard. I'm gonna raise my hand and my foot, okay? Forgiveness is a difficult thing. It is a very hard thing. But Jesus emphasized that this is a kingdom principle, that the foundation of forgiveness is so important that it's literally a soteriological a value. Soteriology, in other words, come on, Bible college, it is a doctrine of salvation, that my salvation is dependent on me forgiving other people. And whenever an issue has to do with my salvation, I'm paying attention. Because now this is not just a suggestion. This is talking about my salvation of entering into the kingdom of God. Say amen. And he begins to marry the two. And he says that if we don't forgive other people, God won't forgive us. I need to let that sink in. I love you, but I have to teach you the word. And God says that I have no right to hold unforgiveness towards someone when God has forgiven me of so much. And you need to hear that. Because Jesus said, if I don't forgive other people, I'm not forgiven. Amen. So I'm going to get to the benefits of forgiving, but first the foundation that it is very something. Now, why is that? Because God says, I've forgiven you of so much. God has removed all our sins. I don't know about you, but when I came to God, I wasn't no trophy. I was tore up from the flora. When I came to God, I was jacked up. I was sinful. All the things, I didn't accidentally disobey God. I willfully disobeyed God. Okay, some of y'all, come on, don't look at me with those holy eyes. Polish your halo. You're holy. Okay, pray for me. But I knew I was rebelling against God. But God still accepted me. God still forgave me. After all the decisions I made, the nonsense the people I hurt, the dumb things I did, God still forgave me. And God says, if I forgave you, what right do you have to hold someone else against their faults? Now, I know what you're thinking, and I'll get to that in a second. Well, but what they did really hurt me. I'm not discounting that, okay? We'll talk about how God wants to heal that hurt. But first and foremost, biblically, we have no right to hold unforgiveness. What does unforgiveness look like? It looks like resentment. It looks like bitterness. It looks like offense, offended. It looks like, just always, you know,
Like, how do you know if you have it unforgiven? Usually you know because you're either you're trying to get revenge, you know? Or you smile when something bad happens to them. Come on, somebody. That's hardcore, but that's really like, good. They got what they're coming for them. It's like, really? Oh, mercy. Just look straight for us. I don't know. Nobody like that. You know, I don't know. Yeah, come on, somebody. It's like, you got to be at a place where it's like, I'm not going to do that. Now, I say this with grace and with love. I've been grudges, all that stuff. I've been saved 25 years. I've been saved, gave my life to Jesus. And I know what some of y'all think. You look 25. Thank you. You know, Jesus exfoliation, just stress-free living. Come on, somebody. I just turned 40 this year. I feel fresh. Come on, somebody. I feel good. My knee doesn't, but I do. Come on. All right. But you know, one thing I've seen in my 25 years of salvation, been pastor for 14 years, and I say this with love and grace, but Christians, believers, are usually really good at singing. They're real good at going to church. They're great even at speaking in tongues and praying. But this thing called forgiveness. I'm smiling. Come on. You know I love you. They're terrible, this thing called forgiveness. They hold resentment towards each other. As if God didn't forgive them of all of their stuff they did. And somehow I have the right to be offended by someone. When we as believers, God says, no, I didn't say how good you sing. If you sing good, you'll make it to heaven. He didn't say if you pray good, you'll make it to heaven. He says if you forgive good. If I want to be good at one, if I want God's blessing, if I want God's freedom in my life, this is the one family of God. We got to be good at forgiving and releasing. I don't want to live with no bitterness, no resentment, no offense. God, I want to be mature and good at this thing called forgiveness. Amen. Now, okay, I can already feel right now. I feel the battle. I feel like someone say, well, you don't know what they did, Pastor. You're right, I didn't. I don't know. And we'll talk about getting healed of that hurt. And we'll talk about how, you know, forgiving is not permitting people. I'm not saying what they did was okay. But I'm just telling you is that this thing called forgiveness is God telling us that it's a gift to set us and to bring God's peace, God's freedom in our lives. And that's where I want to live. I want to be good at this thing. Can you say amen to that? Come on, say it. We want to be good at this thing. Why do we need forgiveness? We might ask here, well, Pastor Josiah, why do we need this thing called forgiveness? We need it because families have problems. My family has problems. Your family has problems. We all got problems. And God's like, you're going to need to learn how to forgive because family's going to hurt. And so if we try to think of some utopian situation where like, well, I just, you know, I don't need to be good at forgiveness, then you are assuming your family's perfect. And since the family's not perfect, I better get good at forgiving. Come on, somebody, say amen. Now, Jesus, just write this down. Jesus talks about forgiveness, but just here's your first point. Write this down. Why forgiving never feels good, so this is why you need to know this. Releasing forgiveness always takes faith. Releasing forgiveness always takes faith. Like, there's never going to be a time where you're actually going to feel good forgiving people, okay? And we'll get to that in a second. But there was a time Jesus was talking to disciples, and I want to show you this here. And it says here in Luke chapter 17 and verse 4, we're talking about here forgiveness. We're talking about learning to let go here. It says, Jesus was talking to disciples. Here's what he says. It says, even if that person wrongs you 7 times a day and each time turns again and asks for forgiveness, you must slap them. No, that's not what it says. Come on, somebody. That's what you wanted it to say, huh? I know, me too. That's not what it says. Somebody like, that's in the Bible? Yes. No, that's not what it says. He says, and turns and asks forgiveness. What must you do? You must, come on, all of us together. You must forgive. All that doesn't seem fair. That's like, that does not seem fair. But there must be something in there that Jesus is asking us to do because he doesn't want us to live prisoned in prison and in bitterness and offense and in grudge because God's ways work. And here's how the disciples respond, and this is how I'm going to ask you to respond. Verse 5, the apostles said to the Lord, show us how to then increase our faith. So he's like, you mean I'm supposed to forgive that many times? They're like, Lord, increase my faith. I'm going to need more faith for this right here. Like, I'm a believer, but I need to be like a believer. So here's my encouragement to you today. If you're battling unforgiveness, it's not saying, the prayer should be, Lord, it shouldn't be, Lord, help me to forgive. It's actually this, Lord, increase my faith to forgive. Amen. Increase my faith. Good. Why increase the faith? Because sometimes when we forgive someone, we feel like it's not working. I'm going to raise my hand right here, honestly. Like, I forgive them, and I feel like it's not working. Like, all I'm doing by forgiving is permitting them to continue to do it. So God says in his word, we need to increase our faith. That God, I don't even understand this forgiveness thing, because the world's way says revenge. The world says an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a slap for a slap, a smack for a smack, right? The world I live in, it's get even. It's like even the score. The world's ways, the ghetto ways, the old school way, maybe the family you were raised was, don't let nobody talk to you like that, and you let them know who you are. And we try to fight our way to freedom in the sense of in the flesh, but God says certain things, you ain't gonna win in the flesh. You're only gonna win by forgiveness and learning the power, come on somebody, of forgiveness. Now, I'm gonna break down what it looks like in a second, but for now, just know God always calls us to forgive. Okay? Okay, now forgiving doesn't mean you're permitting it. Forgiving doesn't mean you continue to allow them to hurt you. But I guess I'll just tell you right now, well, what is forgiveness? Let's talk about really quick what forgiveness is. Forgiveness, just write this down, this is not your second point, but forgiveness is a gift to your future. That's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is a gift to your future. Because really, when you forgive someone, it's not about telling that person, just keep hurting me. Of course, if you're in an abusive relationship, that needs to stop, and you need to have self-respect and say, this needs to stop. You're forgiving them doesn't mean you're allowing it to continue. You're just saying, I'm not going to let that hold me back. Come on, does that make sense this morning? Because forgiveness is one of those things that we, of course, we have to put a stop to it, but forgiveness allows you, it allows you to move forward. It allows you to finally say, I'm not going to carry, you know, what happened. I'm not going to let it continuously hurt me. I'm not going to let it, you know, continue. I'm not going to keep rehearsing that event. When you release forgiveness, what you're doing is you're letting go of that weight. So let me give you a picture. This is how my mind works. You know, I always got these illustrations. And so we got this rope right here. Let me bring you up again, brother. You're right here. He's in Bible college. Frank right here. Come to the front. And Bible college. Register Bible college. Come on. And so here's what unforgiveness. Now, this is a good brother. So for the record, he did nothing wrong to me, okay? So just want y'all to know, all right? He in Bible college. He's going for it. But what unforgiveness does is it keeps you tied to the past. And what ends up transpiring is when we hold on to unforgiveness, we're still holding on to what happened. Are you tracking with me? And when I hold on, what I'm saying is, no, what that person did 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 1 week ago, last night, I'm going to carry that offense with me. I'm still going to be hurt. I'm still going to be, you know, revengeful. I'm still going to be resentful. I'm still going to, you know, oh, no, I'm waiting for my chance. So you're going to get it. And we try to move forward in life while carrying that with us. And how many know it's going to be real hard for me to go forward in life carrying that with me? And I keep going, oh, what should I practically do so that I can move into my future? What should I do? Oh, you guys, come on somebody, right? So just tell me, let it go, bro. No, like, let it go, bro. No, I don't feel like letting it go. I don't want to. Because if I let it go, it's as if I'm what that person did, I'm saying it was okay. So I'm going to carry it, and I'm gonna keep trying to get back at it, revenge, and I'm going to be mad, and I'm going to be, you know, every time I see him. So I got to carry the offense so I can respond in a revengeful way. And the reason why I don't want to let it go is because if I let it go, then I can't get even. And if I can't get even, then I don't feel like justice was served. And what God says is, God says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, not yours. Come on, somebody. And what God told the Philistines is, he's like, I'm going to deal with them because of that old hatred. I'm just telling you to move forward. And so when I forgive, I want to give you a picture of what forgiveness is. Forgiveness in your life is you basically saying, you know what? What happened 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, I'm going to let that go. And I'm just going to move into my future. I'm going to be who God called me to be. I'm not going to be resentful. I'm not going to carry that memory with me and try to respond and live out of it. Because sometimes holding on does more damage than letting go. And it's hurting some of us. I've often said this, and perhaps you heard it before, but unforgiveness is like you drinking poison hoping they die. You know? Because you are all bitter and mad, and that person that offended you, you know, they're at Disneyland right now. And they're, you know what I mean? They're on Splash Mountain. And you're like, oh, you know, I'm mad at them. And is it messing them up? Do you think they're not messed up? They're all there, you know, just eating Raising Cane's. You know what I'm saying? They're eating a churro right now. Why are you going to let someone eating a churro ruin your life? I'm just trying to help somebody today right now. Why are you going to let somebody, and again, I'm not minimizing what was done. I'm not being insensitive, because I know there might be some heavy offenses, some things that really hurt. But what I'm saying is, I'm not saying permitting that what they did was okay. What I'm saying is, I'm not going to stop me being the man of God because of the thing they did in the past. I'm going to still be who God called me to be. And I just want to tell somebody, I don't know who I'm talking to, but if you're going to do something, I've never seen anyone step into something great who's still holding on to resentment, offense, a bitterness, grudges. If you're going to see what's holding some people back into their destiny, it's not what's in front of you, but actually what's behind you. Someone say, let it go. They should write a song about that. They should write a song about that. Amen. Right? Thank you so much, brother. You can give that the rope to them. Come on, somebody. And so we need to do that. So what forgiveness is not? Let me just define this. This is not your second point. This is like sub-point 1-1, you know? You know me, I'm always throwing things at you here, but forgiveness does not mean you forget, okay? What do I mean by that? Just because you forgive someone doesn't mean you'll forget right away what happened. And so don't feel like, well, why do I still remember it? Does that mean I haven't forgiven? No, it's because it was a traumatic event in your life. But what forgiveness means is you're not going to keep rehearsing the event. Does that make sense? You're not going to keep rehearsing it and let it keep hurting you. You're not in that, I'm just throwing things out there, you're not in that relationship anymore. Does that make sense? You're not in that place anymore. You're here right now. You're watching online. God's moving in your life right now. Let it go. So just because you remember doesn't mean that you're stuck there. You just got to have like a slippery mind. Just don't stay there. Move forward in Jesus' name. Next one, it's not number two, but just what it's not. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's faith, okay? So it's like, y'all heard the analogy of love. Love is not a feeling. Love is a choice, right? You choose to love someone, and it's the same thing about forgiveness. Forgiveness is not a feeling. There ain't never going to be a day where you're like, I just feel like forgiving someone right now. Anybody want to offend me? Because I just feel really, no, okay? Like, truthfully, when you really forgive someone, it's going to feel almost irritating. Like, real talk. You're going to be like, I don't want to forgive this person. Like, man, this person needs a smack. That's what they need. What they really need, I'll tell you what they really need. You know what I'm saying? You know, they need me to slash their tires. Chill out. Even though you did, but we forgive you. Come on, somebody. All right, like, certain people, you don't know. You know what I mean? So it's like, it never feels so don't think that, well, why don't I feel like forgiving them? Does that mean I'm a terrible? No, that just means you're human. Yeah. But just because I don't, should I listen to my feelings or should I walk by faith? Right? That's why I'm telling you, releasing forgiveness requires faith. The apostles said, they told Jesus, well, increase my faith. I'm going to need more faith to be a better forgiving person because I don't want to live in that bitterness. I don't want to live in holding grudges. I don't want to live in resentment. And there's some of you that have been living in a 10-year resentment prison. You've been living in a 10-year bitterness prison. You've been living in a 10-year offense. And I'm telling you, God is telling you, just let it go and step into the person God has called you to be. Say amen. We got to let it go. And I, and if not, then you carry it. You will carry. And I don't know, maybe someone's here. You got out of a bad relationship that fell apart, and now you're in a new relationship, and you're carrying the old offense of that person into the new person. Help me, Jesus. I just stepped on someone right there. Uh-oh. You know, they're not that person. Someone say, let it go. Say it, relax. Say, let it go, bro. Come on, sorry. You know, forgiveness isn't fair, and forgiveness, here's one. Forgiveness doesn't mean it won't hurt. It'll hurt sometimes. You'll think and be like, man, but just keep walking. Just don't stop and live in that so that you can operate in who God called you to be. Number two, write this down. So it's not just about forgiving others, releasing forgiveness, but it's also about forgiving yourself. Write this down, forgiving yourself. So why do we need to be good at forgiveness? Because sometimes the person you're carrying, this is for somebody right now, is you're not carrying somebody else's offense towards you, you're carrying the things you did towards you. And you're mad at yourself. Man, how can I be so dumb? How can I be so foolish? And you're carrying the old version of you. You're carrying the 21-year-old you. You're carrying the 12-year-old you or the 8-year-old you, and you're just trying to carry them, and you're like, but you need to believe right now that that's not you no more. Come on, someone needs to hear that. That's not you no more. And you need to know, I'm gonna forgive that young, dumb person I was. Come on, real talk. You know, I was foolish. I made some, you know, maybe made some dumb decisions. I made some dumb decisions growing up. You know, it's just like, I'm not that person no more. I'm a different person now. And you have to learn to operate that because there's only two ways to serve God. Listen to me. You can either choose to serve God out of grace or you can serve God out of guilt. And I have seen a lot of people serve God out of guilt. What that looks like is they feel like they don't deserve nothing. They feel like serving God out of guilt, you feel guilty. You feel like, who am I to lift my hands and worship God? Who am I to I don't deserve anything. And after all I did, who am I to serve? Who am I to do this? And the enemy is, the devil's a liar because he'll beat you up. The devil will just, and look at you, and you ain't no Christian. You ain't even saved. You think you're saved. You're not even saved. You know, you don't love God because look what you did last week, and look what you're doing now. You're a hypocrite, and he'll just put that guilt, and that's why the Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren, and he'll just try to tear you down with guilt, and you'll walk into church and feel like, I can't even worship. I can't be a man of God. I can't be a woman of God, and I'm going to tell you right now, the devil is a liar, and he is from the pit of hell. Come on, somebody. And the truth is, we don't deserve it, but it's God's grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 7, watch what the Bible says. It says this, it says, but because of his great love for us. Whose great love? His great love for who? Us. Say me. He says, God, who's rich in mercy, the Bible said, made us alive with Christ. And while, he said, when we were dead in our transgression, in other words, when I was dead, I was killing my life, man, ruining my life. I was going to hell on a highway. He says, it is by grace you have been saved. He says, and raised and with Christ and seated with him within heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, in order that the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in kindness in Christ Jesus. Someone say it's by his grace. It's by his grace, guys, that God saved us. And I just want to tell you right now is that you need to receive God's grace on your life. But also say, God, as you've given it to me, I'm going to also release myself, and I'm not going to hold myself prisoner to the dumb decisions I made in a younger version of who I was. Because then you feel unworthy. You feel like I don't deserve anything good for God. I don't deserve to be used by God. I don't deserve to be blessed. And I love what Paul the Apostle said, what he says here. He says it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9 and 10. He says, I'm the least of the apostles. He says, who am not worthy to even be called an apostle. He's like, I persecuted the church of God. In other words, he did some terrible things to believers and Christians. Like, man, I persecuted people. I embarrassed Christians. I used to make fun of them. I hurt a lot of people, a lot of good people. But then in verse 10, watch what Paul says, and I want you to say this about your life. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Come on, somebody. He's like, by God's grace, is what I am, what I am. He's like, I don't deserve this title of forgiven, but by the grace of God, I am forgiven. He's like, I don't deserve this title to be called a son of God, a child of God, a daughter of God, but by the grace of God, I am a child of God. I don't deserve to be a mom or a dad. I don't deserve what I have, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I don't deserve to be a man of God or a woman of God, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I don't deserve to go to heaven, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And I'm just going to receive God's grace. I'm going to walk forward into who he called me to be. Someone say, by the grace of God. He's like, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that's the only reason I can operate in it, is by walking in this grace. Because that grace is what we need to pray for, what we need to live in, what we need to operate in. Watch this now. Because some of us, you're good at giving other people grace, but you're so hard on yourself. You spend an enormous amount of energy beating yourself up, rehearsing. If I would have done that, then maybe I still would have had that relationship. And you beat yourself up. Well, maybe if I would have said something different, if I would have never done that, and you just beat yourself to the floor. And I want to tell you, you can't live like that, because the devil will keep you imprisoned right there. And you're stuck in a moment of failure for the rest of your Christianity. And I'm going to tell you right now, God forgave you, and I release you in the name of Jesus to go forward into who he's called you to be. You're not that person anymore. You're not there anymore. You're right here, right now, and God forgives you. Come on, you need to go forward and let go. And say, I'm going to go forward in what God has for me. Say amen. I love what he says in 1 Corinthians 12, 2 Corinthians 12, 9. He puts it like this. He says, here, he goes, and he said to me, my grace is what? Sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I'd rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I love this because the Bible says his grace is enough. His grace is sufficient. He is sufficient. And when you serve God out of guilt, you almost feel like you have to make it up to God. And I know what it is to serve God out of guilt. I remember a lot of times when I came to Christ and I was learning my identity and who I am in Christ, and I'd always beat myself up in church, and I always felt like I was trying to earn God's love, his approval. And so I would serve out of hopefully kind of evening the score with God. You know, I would do things hoping that would even the score. And I remember when I was in Bible college, shameless plug, get into Bible college. I was in Bible college, and one of my professors said, if you had to rate yourself from 0 to 10. 0 in God's eye, meaning in God's eyes, you're a 0. You're a wicked, terrible sinner. Or 10, God's proud of you right now. Where would you rate yourself? And I was like, negative 10. And I thought that was real holy to say. Because who am I before a holy God? So I feel like I was earning my stuff. And he says, oh, no. And you need to hear me, y'all. He's in God's eyes, you're a 10. And I was like, what? He says, you're a 10. Yes, 10. He says, because your riches are but filthy rags to him. When did you think you could actually measure up to him? His righteousness comes upon us. His blood was shed, not yours. And so don't you ever approach God with your head down. Who am I? Can you imagine if my son, Judah, my daughter, Faith, said, hey, Dad, who am I? I'd say, pick your head up, girl. You're my daughter. And I love you. You don't got to earn this. I love you. Just by the mere fact that you were born and you're of my DNA. I love you. Come on, somebody. I love you. Now, you're not a part of the Silva family, but you're a part of a greater family. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm about to run around this stage right now. You're a part of a greater family. You're a part of the family of God. And the Father in this family is our Heavenly Father. And guess what? You weren't made in the image of your dad that turned his back on you. They made your outer, but your inner came from the God of heaven's armies. And he said, I made you in his image. And woman of God, you were made in the image of God, not in the brokenness of your family tree. And God says, I love you, and I give you grace and permission to step forward into all that he's called you to be. Somebody clap like you're going to receive the forgiveness God put on your life. Shout amen. And no, you don't deserve it. No. But that's what makes Christianity so powerful. It's what makes this thing called the Bible, why it's outlived nations and kingdoms have risen and fallen, but the church still remains. Because it's not built on the bloodshed of men. It's built on the bloodshed of God. It's the only story in human history, by the way, where every other religion, you have to earn your way to God. You have to earn your way for approval. But in this story of the Bible, this greatest story, it's the only story where God said, no, I died for my people. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I feel the power of God right now. I feel the power of God. Because every other religion, you have to die to earn your way to their false god. But the Bible, the God of the Bible, is what true love is. Greater love has no one else than this, that he laid down his life for his friends, his people. And God spread his arms and told you how much he loves you. He died on a cross and he rose again. And because he got up, you can get up. Because he got out of the tomb, you can get out of dead things. Because he lives, you can live. And because he rose, we're gonna rise with him. Come on, somebody. Wow. My God. I just felt that for somebody. You're watching online, you're in the room or somewhere. This will change your life. Because now you live from the approval of the Father. That just like for those that have kids, you want the best for your kids. You think God doesn't want that for you? Like, would you tell your children, no, earn your way to my love? If you said that, I'm gonna pray for you right now. No, matter of fact, if you're a guy, we're all gonna jump you right now. That's what we're gonna do. I'm just joking. Come on, somebody. Like, no, who says that? But we put that picture to God. We need to pray for more grace in our homes. No, real talk. Married couples, ask for more grace in your homes. God, let there be more forgiveness in my home. We don't hold on to grudges for a week. We argue. I ain't talking to you 14 days later. It's like, come on. Come on. Real talk. You know, you're married and you're like, don't touch my foot. I'm still mad at you. It's like, it's been like 8 days. More grace towards our kids' mistakes. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, y'all didn't want to hear that one. I felt that. I know. Like, why do you hold them to a standard you don't hold yourself to? Oh, we're talking now. Now we're talking. We're talking. You better get straight A's. Bro, you didn't get straight A's, bro. Like, come on. Again, I'm not saying this shouldn't get straight A's, but like, really? Like, for real? You didn't even go to school half the year. Come on, somebody. We need to be a little more graceful up in here. You know what I mean? Like, bring out the best. I'm not advocating bad grades. Dude, don't send me the email, okay? I'm just saying is, are we being, like, there's no grace in our homes. No forgiveness. There's this, we operate in this world of bitterness and grudge and no, that's not the kingdom. By the way, the kingdom is not a place. The kingdom is a way of life here on earth. Now, we're going to go to heaven, but don't make me get into kingdom talk. It's a way of life. You know, because sometimes when you say the word kingdom of God, we think that the church is the church, but the kingdom of God is like the church is another nation. No, those are churches too. The kingdom of God is a way of life. It's a way of having dominion. Your home needs to have the kingdom of God, way of life. And when you operate in kingdom, you get the dominion of the king in your home. And so, grace. I mean, for my life, I have to share this. I have to. Because maybe you have a child in your home or maybe a person in the family unit that right now doesn't deserve forgiveness. Let's just talk about it. You're like, Pastor, they don't deserve forgiveness. You know? I remember growing up, I was a troubled child. Like, I was just rebellious. Like, I got expelled from a school. I had a probation officer. I was ditching. I was just, my mom could not get through to me. Single mother with 5 boys. Okay. Hard for mom to ever be home because she worked 2 jobs. We grew up in Section 8 housing. You would think I literally had my teachers, one teacher tell me, you're the type of kid that will never succeed in life. That's what he told me. So I was bitter. And you know what my mom always did? She never agreed with that. You know what she showed me? Even when I didn't know the grace of God, she showed me the love and the grace of God. And it seemed like it didn't work because it seemed like I got worse. But she would model to me. Of course, she would chew me out, don't get me wrong, right? But she didn't have to tear me down to call the best out of me. You see? Grace, right? So you're worthless. No, she said, there's something good in you. She'd pray for me and call out. Even when I was rebellious, but she was graceful. She had to forgive me because it would have been easy for my mom to have resent and say, you know, what's wrong with you? And, you know, you worthless. She'd serve. And I'll never forget there was a coach because I didn't grow up with a father figure. I'm sorry, a father. My dad succumbed to drug addiction and all kinds of stuff. And so there was a coach that I didn't know this at the time, but he was a believer. And later on, when I became a pastor, he came to the church. Like, I had to come see if it was really true that you were preaching the gospel. Like, I didn't believe it. I'm like, no, I don't believe pictures. It could be Photoshopped. I had to come and sit and see if it was real, you know? And my coach says, because, dude, we always used to witness to you and tell you about Jesus. I'm like, I don't remember. He's like, exactly. You weren't listening, but we're telling you, you know? But he would go and pick me up and my mom couldn't afford, you know, to play football, and he said, we would pay for you. And I remember he would pick, he said, we didn't want you to get involved in gangs, but he was a Christian. He says, because we were showing you God had something on your life, man. And this day I look back and I go, that was the grace of God. That was, I didn't deserve that. But what I'm saying is we need to operate out of this forgiveness and no resentment. God, fill our homes with more grace. Your grace is sufficient. Come on, somebody, to heal, restore, revive in the name of Jesus. Yeah. And so, look at me now. Who won? The grace of God won. Right? Right? I'm like, I remember telling, you want to hear another funny story? Might as well, I'm on it. I remember telling, when I met Marie, she won't pass me, I met Marie, and she was like a girl that went to church, and I literally told my mom, I said, Mom, I'm going to change her. She's going to be a party girl with me. We're going to be going. I said that like a dummy. Look who won. I'm preaching the gospel. Come on, somebody. When God's hand is on your life, no guy, no devil, nothing will win God's power and God's principles. Amen.
love each other.
All right. Let me give you number three, and we're done. So we got to release forgiveness takes faith. We're going to learn to forgive ourselves, operate in grace, and forgive others. And then number three, we need to learn to forgive God. Okay, now, theologically speaking, God does not need forgiveness. Okay, I'm going to say it again. God does not need forgiveness. He causes no sin. Okay, God is not sinful. But what I'm saying by you need to forgive God is there are some who may, within the sound of my voice, you have resentment towards God because you think God caused the bad thing. And you need to release that. God didn't cause the brokenness. In fact, God causes no brokenness. The brokenness in our homes, the brokenness in our lives are caused because of sin, disobedience to God. God gave every person free will. And the hurt that we experience is because someone doesn't obey God, they obey their sinful nature. And God is not the causer of brokenness, He's the redeemer of every broken thing. Okay, come on somebody, say amen. So some in this room, you need to forgive the Lord. What do I mean by that? Maybe you lost a loved one, they passed away. Maybe you lost a child, a spouse, a grandmother, a grandfather, and you're mad at God saying, God, how could you let this happen? And you hold resentment. Maybe your marriage was betrayed. Someone in your, one of the, those in the marriage, of maybe infidelity or a trust was broken and you're mad at God. God, how could you let this happen? Maybe you got laid off. Maybe you lost your home. Maybe your business shut down that you had put all your dreams in and you're like, Lord, I was going to church. How could you let this happen? Maybe you were in sports and you got hurt and you're like, you know, here I am. I go to church. I'm my other friends. They're getting high. And I'm the one serving God. Look at why did I get hurt and they didn't? And you're mad at God. Maybe you were in a relationship. You thought he was the one. But turns out he was just Bozo the Clown. Come on, somebody. And you're like, God, how could you let me hook up with this Bozo? Or, you know, maybe you were embarrassed recently. Something happened and you're like, Lord, I was so embarrassed in that moment and I feel humiliated. God, how could you let this happen? You know, maybe someone abused you verbally, physically. You know, when you're young and you're saying, God, where were you? Maybe something bad happened to you. Maybe you feel alone. There are so many things that can happen in life where we begin to blame God. And I want to tell you, God's not at blame. There are only two times in the Bible that we read that Jesus wept. One was when he wanted to bring people home, and second was when someone died. Jesus weeps over brokenness because he never planned brokenness. That's what sin does. But I want to remind you, we serve a Redeemer. We serve a God that can take every broken thing. And the Bible says that he turns everything for good. That the Bible says in Romans 8:28 that for those who love God and are called according to his purposes, that all things work together for good. And I'm going to tell you, God didn't cause it, but God will use it. He will put it together. And just like this broken young man is when I was young and God turned all my broken pieces, he'll turn around your broken pieces and you will break generational strongholds and your kids won't be raised in that and you will come out of that and you will be a testimony of God's power to the world. That what should have took you out didn't. Why? Because God was all power.
Hey, thanks so much for watching our service at Freedom House OC. Don't forget to like and subscribe. It's always my honor, my wife's honor to bring you God's word. And I know that God's best is in your future. Make sure to share, click the bell icon so you're always up to date when new content comes out because we want to be a blessing to your life. We want this channel to be a channel that feeds your future and leads you closer to God. Hey, we love you. God bless.